amazing the simplicity that comes from it. Oftentimes things come from it that you never thought about. And you say, that's too small to get excited about. It's too small to share. I'm looking for that big thing, that explosive thing that's really going to have an impact on me. Well, I have learned it's not the big explosive things that has a great impact on me. It's the small, simple things that I have not thought of until that time that I have overlooked. There's something in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 that I have overlooked. I got to thinking about it, and it was so simple, I smiled, then I laughed. But yet, it made me bow my head and close my eyes downstairs in my office, and it led me into prayer. It was a prayer of thanksgiving. It was a prayer of praise. It was a prayer of saying, forgive me, Father, for not thanking you earlier and not seeing this earlier in my Christian life. I've talked about it a little bit, but never pursued it. Let's begin reading Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear. Underline those three words, let him hear. What an invitation from God. And I thought a little more about it, and here's what came. Let him hear. Number one, Terry, thank God that you can hear the voice of God. Out of all the voices in the world, there's only one voice worth hearing, and that is the voice of the living God. The voice of the living God, secondly, I thank the Lord, allowed me to hear the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God led me to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So when I think about this, let him hear. Since I can hear the voice of God, I heard about my salvation and I accepted it. So now I have peace with God. I also can have the peace of God in my life. Now that I'm listening to God, I can be at peace with myself. Now that I am listening to God, I am learning how to be at peace with others. And I realize if there is no peace, we are seeing that in the world that we live in today. We need peace all around the world. The absence of peace we are seeing leads to great conflict in the lives of people. So I, in praise and thanksgiving and in prayer, thank God that He opened my ears. He did something I could not do myself. He spoke through His Word. He enabled me by faith, which is a gift from Him, to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So I am thankful for the privilege and the gift of hearing the most important voice in the world that can change everything. He who has an ear, thank God for your ears. Let him hear. Let him hear is a Greek aorist imperative. You like that, don't you, Joy? It means do this immediately and decisively as called for. In every scene of your life, listen to the Holy Spirit who is God. Why do I want to listen to the Holy Spirit who is God? Number one, He will give me the proper perspective of life. He will give me clarity in life. He will give me absolute truth and absolute reality in life. He who has an ear, let him hear in every scene of life what God has to say. In every scene of life, God will put you on the right path. In every scene of life, God will direct your steps. We need to hear God always in everything as He allows us to live. Because every scene of life carries with it eternal consequences to the judgment seat of Christ. He who has an ear, let him hear. Greek aorist imperative. Do this immediately and decisively as called for in every scene of your life. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what God has to say. I want to do that. I've learned that God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere present. He is all-sufficient. And that's the one I want to direct my path in life. That is the one voice that I really want to listen to. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, says to the churches. To him who overcomes, parentheses, the world, through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, I will grant the privilege to eat the fruit from the tree of life. Isn't that something? The tree of life in Genesis comes back in Revelation. And I ask the question, why? What's the purpose of this tree of life in eternity? Don't I already have eternal life? Am I not already in a resurrected, glorified body? Then what is the purpose of this tree of life in eternity? Is it something special to the one who is an overcomer? I've heard John MacArthur say that every believer in Christ is an overcomer. But when you go further in checking this out, it is very intriguing what it has to say. Introduction. Christ issued an invitation to those with open hearts and with ears to hear, thereby implying that everyone does not have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Can you save yourself? Can you be saved by your works? Must you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Is salvation a relationship with Jesus Christ alone? Salvation is a relationship with God the Father. And Jesus Christ makes that relationship possible by receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. At that moment, you have a relationship with the Father. True spirituality involves hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is Jesus Christ. In each scene of life, being receptive to the Lord's voice. Where do we find the Lord's voice? The Bible. We hear the Lord's voice as we read the Word of God. He speaks. It prompts him to birth faith. Underline the two words, birth, faith. When you see the word birth, what does it mean to you? It means something is given a beginning. Divine origin here. So when you see that it is God, it is Jesus Christ who births faith in you, then I quickly see that faith is something that I cannot bring about myself. Faith is a grace gift from Almighty God. And faith is simply divine persuasion. I think the Bible says that we are to live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We are to live by divine persuasion. And who gives us divine persuasion? It is none other than the Holy Spirit Himself. He's going to give birth to it as God does and also as Jesus Christ does. So true spirituality involves hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. It is a Christian who has a Bible. It is a Christian who reads the Bible. It is a Christian who prays, "May I hear the voice of God as I read His holy word." True spirituality involves hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, in every scene of life. Being receptive to the Lord's voice prompts Him to birth faith, divine persuasion, which happens through a rhema word from God. Rhema. Rhema is the word in the Greek that refers to Scripture. It refers to the Word of the living God. We call it the Bible also. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. He says, "So faith, so divine persuasion comes from hearing." Underline the word hearing. The word hearing in the Greek means spiritual hearing that discerns God's voice. In other words, I will wait to see what the Lord will say in me. When I read the Word of God and I have a desire to have that Word of God in me and to hear Him, I'm going to have that voice on the inside of me. So in every scene of life, I'm going to wait. Why am I going to wait? Because God, once again, is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere present. And He is all sufficient. He is the one that I must trust to direct my path and my thoughts and my reasoning in everything, in every situation. Now listen to this. That has already been prepared for me in eternity past. In every scene of life. Does God prepare the scenes that are in your life at the moment? No. They were prepared in eternity past. And if they were prepared in eternity past, and they were, has He not already equipped you for them? Has He already not supplied everything you need to be successful and to honor and glorify Him and for you to grow in Christ's likeness in every scene of life? The answer is yes. Back to the printout. So faith comes from hearing what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching. The word preaching is the rhema of the message concerning Christ. Although Jesus was speaking a specific message to the church at Ephesus, these truths are to be taken as a message from the Holy Spirit to all seven churches in Asia and to the church at large throughout all history. Verse 7. To him that overcometh. I want you to write a note that you don't have. And here's that note. To him that overcometh. Well, here was my question. How do I overcome something, God? And what are you going to give me? What are you going to supply in my life that is going to grant me that I can be an overcomer? To him that overcometh. Here's the note. God's commands are not heavy. They are not oppressive. He gives the power to carry them through. Whatever God asks you to do, He will give you the power to carry it through. God is, once again, all powerful. Is there any power that exists other than God's power that can quench the power of Almighty God? The answer is no, and it's never going to exist. Overcometh, nikao. You might want to put a few accents here. N-I-K-A accent. O, which is a long O. We like that word, Nike. Overcometh, nikao, means a victor, a champion, or one who possesses some type of superiority. Well, let's add some notes that you don't have. Number one, it is one who is in a battle. It is one who is in a battle. An overcomer here is the Christian who is in a battle. It is spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 will remind you that we have entered spiritual warfare the moment we received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So we are one who is in a battle. Secondly, one who learns to live life in the combat zone. One who learns to live life in the combat zone. This is where that I do not agree with the feel-good message preachers or the Christian that comes into the church and says, just give me something that's going to make me comfortable. I don't want anything that's going to challenge me. If you are going to be an overcomer in the Christian life, if you're going to be one that God can work in a great miraculous way and His power can be seen and His power can be felt and manifested, you're going to be that overcomer, one who is in a battle, one who learns to live life in the combat zone. Nikao means overcoming whatever resists God's preferred will. This is conquering that comes from obeying. And there's some more. Believers conquer as they voluntarily surrender themselves to the Lord's will. In other words, laying aside the prerogative of acting in one's own human will. I'm saved. You're saved. Am I saved to carry out my agenda and my will? The answer is absolutely not. My human will doesn't amount to anything when placed beside the will of God. So therefore, my prayer every morning is, God, I pray not that the will of Terry Davis will be done, not that the words of Terry Davis will be spoken. I don't want to waste your time. But I'm praying that the will of God will be done. Use me, Father, I pray today. Put me in the path of someone who is struggling that needs to know God loves them and God is here to help them. And if you're a child of the living God, I can say to that person with all honesty and a smile on my face, now that I'm a child of God, now that I'm a Christian, that I belong to Him, I will never struggle alone. He's always going to be with me in everything. That I can be assured of, that I will never doubt. And I can share that with someone who is struggling on the inside, possibly at this very moment. We all struggle with things. We are all human. We are all frail. We are all weak. We're all subject to some kind of a disease or another. We are all subject to self, pleasing self, self-arrogance and smugness. But I realize as I am in the Bible, the Word of the Living God, that my greatest help in time of need is Jesus Christ. And there are times He will send other people to help me in what I am struggling with. I want to say this to you. Don't ever think that when a preacher stands up before you, he's got it all together. For most of us are struggling on the inside. And we need your help and we need the help of God. Let me go back here. Overcometh in Revelation chapter 2 verse 7. Can describe either an athlete's victory or a military victory. This means Jesus was conveying two potential messages to the church of Ephesus. First, He told these early believers that the only way to defeat, notice the word defeat, underline the word defeat, defeat the foes. We all have foes. We have Satan who hates us more than you know. We have demons that are highly organized at work every moment of every day to destroy us in every kind of way that they can think of. You know, when you talk to many Christians, here's how they would describe their lives at many times. Defeat, defeat, victory, 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 defeat, defeat, defeat. When you understand who God is and the power of Almighty God and what the Word of God that is read and received and digested into your life as a child of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have a life that is going to be like this. Victory, 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 victory. Defeat a little bit, but here comes victory again and again and again. More victory, less defeat as a child of God in Jesus Christ. First, he told these early believers that the only way to defeat the foes they faced, foes both exterior, that's false apostles, and interior, a cooling of spiritual love and passion, was for them to maintain with firmness and persistence the attitude of an athlete to win the contest before them. The Ephesians had to eliminate all spiritual apathy, the lack of interest, and prepare, underline the word prepare, for the toughest competition they had ever engaged in. Praise and worship is wonderful. Praise and worship is only a slice of the pie. There's 7 or 8 slices in that pie. Here it is right here. You can praise, you can worship. It makes you feel really good, and it should. God is worth all of our praise and all of our worship. Then when your feet hit the ground, you're going to have to prepare for some of the toughest competition that you've ever been engaged in your life. How tough are you in Christianity? I've said it before, I'll say it again. This church is not green by accident. It is green because this is boot camp. This is where you get toughened up in the Word of God and by the Word of God. Because you have stepped into spiritual warfare, you have stepped into a combat zone that is hell itself. And unless you get tough in the Word and by the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, you will go down in defeat. Back to the printouts. To win the contest before them, the Ephesians had to eliminate all spiritual apathy and prepare for the toughest competition they had ever engaged in. Nothing less than a full commitment would be sufficient to master the exterior adversaries and inner struggles they were facing. The point Jesus Christ is making here, only a thoroughly committed believer will win a victor's crown. Go to page 2, if you will. Come on, boys, hang in. Top of page 2. Jesus' words here held a second meaning. He was calling the Ephesian believers to rise up like an army. Stop there. What are we? Yes, we are believers. Yes, we do engage in praise and worship. But we are an army of the Lord. Who is the captain of this army? It is none other than the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He leads, we follow. That's the kind of army that he has. He was willing what? He was calling the Ephesian believers to rise up like an army to attack and defeat the external and internal enemies that threatened them. Spiritual complacency, a feeling of self-satisfaction, self-righteousness, self-pleased, smugness, arrogancy. Spiritual complacency and the lack of passion, the lack of enthusiasm, the lack of desire, the lack of drive were intolerable enemies of their faith that had to be conquered. Winning this victory would require the highest level of determination they had ever known, for apathy and complacency are always the most difficult enemies for a person or a church to conquer. The tense for overcometh in Revelation 2:7 speaks of a continuous and ongoing victory. Well, you know how some take it. I'm saved. I put my name on the card. I got baptized. You might see me. You might not. What is the Christian life? What does God expect of you and I as a child of the living God? Live it continuously. Progressive sanctification, allowing yourselves to be molded in maturity, of Christ's likeness. It's not a choice. It is something God is asking, He's commanding of His people. That's why when you make Christianity an easy believism, you just come on down, write your name on the card, everything's going to be great. Everything is not always going to be good. Everything is not always going to be great. There are things that are going to be hard. There are things that are going to be difficult. There are going to be struggles on the inside and on the outside. Brother, you're going to have to bear down with your brother and sister in Christ. You're going to have to believe what you read in the Word of the Living God. And you're going to have to say, Heavenly Father, I'm tossing my will aside. I'm accepting your will. And I'm going to live by the power of Almighty God that is within me as a child of the Living God. I want people to honor you. I want people to praise you. I want people to see how loving you are and how passionate you are and how forgiving you are. I want people to understand you're the best thing that can ever happen in their life. They need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They need peace with God. They need peace with themselves, and they need to learn how to have peace with other people. The tense for overcometh in Revelation 2:7 speaks of a continuous and ongoing victory. Let me tell you what's happening in Washington, D.C. Brother, that is spiritual warfare at its best. On one side, you can see the long teeth growing down and the horns coming out of the top of their head. You can see a hatred towards the Constitution, a hatred towards rules, a hatred towards doing what is right. And when you're supposed to do what is right, to hell with it, that's what they're saying. We don't have to abide by any rule. We don't have to abide by any truth. We will do what we want to do to get what we want. Damn that again. That's not what it's all about. And where are the people in the voting areas? Is that what we need? Running things in the United States of America? We need to pray for our Christian men and women that are up there in Washington, D.C. We need to pray that they will have the boldness of an Almighty God, that God will give them courage to look Him in the eye and stand up nose to nose. Listen, not from here to there. That's over. That's done with. There's a gap, and it's getting bigger, and it's not going to get any smaller. There is no bipartisan. That is all done. What you've known in the past is over and done and will never exist again. The gap is getting wider. Satan is getting stronger up there. Do you see? It's not my opinion about your opinion. It is Satan on one side and God on the other. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much. I still would like to hit old shift. Here we go. He was demanding a commitment to start and to remain in the race until the finish line was reached, to attack and defeat the foes, and then to remain victorious over their enemies. You don't have this. Would you just listen? What is life all about? The answer? Being born, discovering absolute truth and absolute reality in the person of Jesus Christ. He's getting us ready for the time He's going to call us home and give an account of our life. How confident are you about confronting death? Two things lie ahead of you, death and judgment. And remember, you cannot change them no matter what. Our time is allotted. Our time is designated. We have a life to live and we have something to leave. God lets us live to have an influence, to make a difference in someone else's life, to get us ready and to fulfill His purpose and His plan for our life. Where does obedience fit in your daily life, your daily thinking? Is Jesus Christ first in your life, the life that He has loaned you? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? How do you feel about your own death? Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. 2 Timothy 4:6 and 8. For I am already being poured out. Poured out means my blood is being poured out in a violent death for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I wonder when I read that, how many Christians would read that and say, I hope that never happens in my life. I hope my life is never poured out in a violent way. Why not? Did not Jesus Christ die on the cross in a violent way? Do we say, well, that's good for Jesus. He was God, but that's not good for me. Have we come to the place of commitment? Have we come to the place where we will really stand in the name of Jesus Christ? We're not going to walk backwards, step backwards. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So many Christians are praying, God, I hope I die an easy death before I have to die a violent death for Jesus Christ. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time, the right moment. Somebody said, I'm going to join a gym and I'm going to work out and I'm going to live longer. Wrong. That would contradict what we just read. Very quickly, remember, our time is allotted, our time is designated. You can work out in a gym 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It will improve the quality of life, but not the longevity of life. Because God has already put a period at the end of your life. So every funeral you go to, say, boy, they died of cancer. No, they didn't. Died of a heart attack. No, they didn't. They were in an automobile accident. Okay. You know what got them? They didn't know it because maybe they didn't read the Bible, and maybe they did. Maybe they were ready. But to the unbelieving crowd, you want to say as loud as you can, that was the time for him or her to go from eternity past. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time, the right moment of my departure. Underline that word departure. It means my relocation, my new destination beyond the grave. And the right moment of my departure is at hand. I have fought. Underline the word fought. It means struggled. Well, you have a lot of Christians that say, I don't want to struggle. Just give me some of those easy messages. I just want to be comforted, not challenged. I have kept the faith. Well, I have fought. I've struggled. I have engaged in every intense warfare. You didn't see me back up. That's what he's saying. When my brother in Christ needed me, I walked right in the middle of it. I'll walk into the lion's den, he said. I'll walk into a room of fire. Let them boil me. Let them set me afire on a cross upside down. I'll gladly do what I must do for the cause of my Lord Jesus Christ. I'll enter the struggle, listen, for you. That's the kind of body, that's the kind of church you want to belong to. I'll enter your struggle with you. I'll pray with you. I've cried with some. Like I said, with Jesus Christ, you won't ever be alone. I have fought the good fight. Underline the word good. It means a good that inspired, a good that motivated. I stepped into the struggle. And what did it do with that one that was on the outside looking in? It inspired them. It motivated them. Look what he's doing. Look what she's doing. Thank God. That's what I needed to make a move in this struggle that I am in. I have kept the faith. What is the faith? I have kept the faith. I have sacrificed and labored. I have been faithful. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. Why is God so righteous? Why is Jesus Christ the righteous judge? Because He judges your heart. He's the only one that can see your heart and judge accurately and honestly. That's the righteous judge. Will give me to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Back to the printout very quickly. Look at point two. Christians are to make it their continual and unrelenting goal to maintain victory, maintain, cultivate it, work at it, persist at it in every possible sphere of life as long as they live on this earth. How long you're going to live, I don't know. How long are you going to live? Any hands raised? How are you going to die? Any hands raised? Where are you going to die? Any hands raised? Then why do people put it off? I'll tell you why. They don't have ears to hear. Look at this and what he says below point two. Listen very carefully. Jesus says to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life. I will give is doso. It means I will allow or I will permit. The use of this word means that Christ Himself is personally involved in this act. Wow. It is His choice to give, to allow, or to permit those who are actively in the presence of overcoming to eat or to partake of the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. Point three. The fact that Jesus permits this means that everyone is not allowed to partake of this promise. It seems that this is a promise available only to the overcomers. Let me say this. You got Christians that ain't going to overcome anything because they're still concerned about themselves. But you got Christians that are stepping right in the middle of the fire and the struggle and say, God, work in me and through me. Let's overcome this. Think about it for a moment. Will intimacy be greatly rewarded in heaven? Those overcomers learn to be intimate with Christ, right? They're intimate. You know why they're overcomers? And if you're an overcomer, it means, buddy, you are at His side big time. Then you got other Christians that are nowhere near His side. But when you get to heaven, some will be rewarded in a very special way because of their intimacy as an overcomer with Christ. It's an interesting study. Why in the world did He bring back the tree of life? You have eternal life, right? My friend, heaven's going to be heaven. But for some, it's going to be greater. Because of what you allowed Christ to do in you and through you here. Your intimacy with Christ as an overcomer will not go unseen or unrewarded. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your word. That we can read Your word and hear You speak. That we can have peace with God and we can have the peace of God and we can have peace with ourselves and then learn peace with others. Heavenly Father, it's not funny. But I'm thinking, how many people in this world, how much money would they give to be at peace with themselves and at peace with others? Folks, it's either peace or conflict. It's your call. I pray if there's anyone here that has an ear to hear, and they're hearing it and they're feeling it, don't hold back. Things are happening in the world. Conflict, hatred. The devil is doing his best to destroy peace. A 13-year-old boy killed a college girl. You knew about that, Lord. He got up and said, "Today, we're going to rob somebody." They walked up to her, several of them. Stabbed her to death. 13 years old. 13-year-old boy stabbing a college girl. And they asked him what the problem was. No home life. You know, praise and worship is great. Sunday school is wonderful. Bible study is terrific. But you got to do something with it. The Gideons hand out the word of God. Maybe you're saying to yourself, "Terry, that's hard for me to do." Well, I'll tell you what. I got several Gideons in this church. They'd love to take your money. And the reason they take your money is to buy more Bibles. So the word of God can be handed out. And guess what goes with the word of God? The voice of God. If you're looking for somewhere to give for Christmas, give it to the Gideons. I don't care if the Bible gets dirty wherever it's sent, placed. I've seen dirty Bibles in India from the Gideons. I've seen the pages ripped and torn. And I saw a young little old girl say, they sat beside me and laid that Bible in my lap. She looked up with that big, pretty smile and white teeth. She said, "Look what I've got." God will thank you one day for that. It don't have to be clean. God knows how to wash away dirt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.